Hi everyone, you're back on with Listen to El Bookie. Today is Sunday, July the 17th, 2022. And today, in this episode of Listen to El Bookie, we're going to cover three major news events. Brittany Griner submits proof of medical cannabis clearance to the Russian court. Biden meets with the Saudi prince after promising to make him a pariah. And former Japanese prime minister is assassinated. We're going to cover these three bits of news once we return from this short break. See you in a minute. Peace. Hi everyone, you're back on with Listen to El Boogie. We're going to jump right into this first bit of news. WNBA star Brittany Griner back in Russian court as trial resumes. A lawyer for WNBA star Brittany Griner at her drug possession trial in Russia on Friday gave the court a U.S. doctor's letter recommending she use medical cannabis to treat pain. Griner, a two-time Olympic gold medalist and standout for the Phoenix Mercury, was arrested at a Moscow airport in February after customs officials said they found vape cartridges containing cannabis oil in her luggage. She faces up to 10 years in prison if convicted on charges of transporting drugs. In court last week, Griner pleaded guilty and acknowledged possession of the cartridges, but said she had no criminal intent and said they were in her luggage because she packed hastily in her return to Russia to play for the Ekaterinburg basketball team during the NBA's offseason. In Russia's judicial system, admitting guilt doesn't automatically end the trial. Since that plea, her court sessions have focused on in-person and written testimony to her good character and athletic prowess. The attending physician gave Brittany recommendations for the use of medical cannabis, said her lawyer, Maria Blangovina. The permission was issued on behalf of the Arizona Department of Health. The defense on Friday also submitted tests she underwent as part of an anti-doping check, which didn't detect any prohibited substances in her system. The next hearing of Griner's case was scheduled for July 26. U.S. President Joe Biden and Secretary of State Antony Blinken have said they are doing all they can to win her release, as well as that of other Americans the U.S. consider wrongfully detained by Russia, including former Marine Paul Weiland, who is serving 16 years on an espionage conviction. Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock sent a letter to Blinken on Friday seeking answers on several questions regarding Griner's situation. What options are you considering in ongoing negotiations? Warnock asked. Are you able to ensure Brittany does not remain in custody during the trial? Do you have any indication of what the Russian government would accept in return of her release? I recognize the complexity of the current situation, but Brittany Griner cannot become a victim of geopolitical events and autocratic war. I urge you to pursue swift negotiations to ensure her immediate release. End quote. Washington might have leverage with Moscow, though, because of strong animosity over its military operation in Ukraine. In hearings yesterday and today, what became very clear is the tremendous amount of respect and admiration both the United States and here in Russia where Ms. Griner has been playing basketball for 7 years, not only for the professional achievement, but for her character and integrity. U.S. Ambassador Charge D'Affairs Elizabeth Rube stood outside the courthouse in the Moscow suburb where the court, where the airport is located. The director of Team Captain Ekenberg testified on her behalf on Thursday. Russian media have speculated that Griner could be swapped for Russian arms trader Viktor Blout, nicknamed the Merchant of Death, who is serving a 25-year sentence in the U.S. after being convicted of conspiracy to kill U.S. citizens and proving aid to a terrorist organization. Russia has agitated for Blout's release for years, but the wide discrepancy in the seriousness of their case could make such a trade unpalatable to Washington. Others have suggested that Griner could be traded along with Whalen, who is serving a 16-year sentence in Russia on an espionage conviction that the U.S. has described as a setup. The State Department's designation of Griner as wrongfully detained moves her case under the supervision of its special presidential envoy for hostage affairs, effectively the government's chief hostage negotiator. The classification has irritated Russia. Asked about the possibility of Griner being swapped for a Russian jailed in the U.S., Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rykov, the senior Russian diplomat, has noted that until the trial is over, there is no formal or procedural reason to talk about any further steps. Rykov warns that U.S. criticism, including the description of Griner as wrongfully detained and dismissive comments about the Russian judicial system, makes it difficult to engage in detailed discussion of any possible exchanges. Griner's detention has been authorized through December 20th, suggesting the trial could last months. Griner's lawyers, however, said they expect the court case to conclude around the beginning of August. All right, y'all. It just amazes me, though, that Griner had to send Biden a letter, you know, to ask him to advocate for her release, when past presidents, including Donald Trump, had right away contacted foreign nations about, you know, certain U.S. citizens being held for, I'll say, lesser reasons. Okay? Once we return from this message, we're going to cover the president's trip to Saudi Arabia to meet with the prince of the kingdom, after making remarks about making Saudi Arabia a pariah during his 2020 presidential campaign. We're going to go over those details once we return from the short break. See you guys in a minute. Peace. Hello, everyone. You're back on with Listen to El Boogie. We're going to cover our second story. This concerns President of the United States meeting the Saudi prince. All right. President Joe Biden exchanged a fist bump with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, kicking off a highly scrutinized meeting Friday in a country that Biden once vowed to make a pariah. The Crown Prince, also known as MBS, and other members of the royal family greeted Biden at Al-Salam Royal Palace after the president arrived in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, for delicate talks on energy, human rights, and security in the Middle East. Biden has faced criticism for meeting with the Crown Prince, who also officials believe ordered the 2018 killing of a Washington Post columnist, Jamal Khashoggi, and the fist bump only amplified the condemnation. If we ever needed a visual reminder of the continued grip oil-rich anarchs have on U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East, we got it today. Representative Adam Scuff, a California Democrat who chairs the House Intelligence Committee, said in a tweet, "One fist bump is worth a thousand words." Excuse me. Fred Ryan, the publisher and CEO of the Washington Post, slammed Biden's greeting of Bin Salman as shameful and worse than a handshake. It projects a level of intimacy and comfort that delivers to MBS the unwarranted redemption that he has been desperately seeking, Ryan, in a statement post on his Twitter account, said. Biden told reporters afterwards that he raised Khashoggi's murder during his meeting with Bin Salman, pushing back against criticism that he ignored Saudi Arabia's human rights record. "I said very straightforwardly for an American president to be silent on the issue of human rights is inconsistent with who we are and who I am," Biden said, recounting what he told the Crown Prince. He basically said that he was not personally responsible for it. "I indicated that I thought he was when asked how he could assure another murder like Khashoggi's doesn't happen again," Biden responded. "What a silly question. How could I possibly be sure of any of that? I just made it clear if anything occurs like that again, they'll get that response and much more." Told that Khashoggi's fiance, Hatice Zingig, said the blood of the Crown Prince's next victim is on his hands, Biden said. "I'm sorry she feels that way." The series of meetings between Biden and Saudi leaders lasted more than 2 hours. Biden met first with King Salman bin Abdullah Al Saud, who Biden greeted with a handshake, according to a video footage released by Saudis. Journalists were not allowed in the room. The president later sat down separately with the Crown Prince, the first such encounter between the two leaders and other Saudi ministers. Flanked by aides, Biden and Bin Salman faced each other at a long rectangular table. The Crown Prince spoke first, then Biden, but reporters in the room could not hear their remarks. Ahead of Biden's trip in the Middle East, which began with a multi-day swing through Israel, officials said Biden would refrain from handshakes with foreign leaders out of concern for COVID-19. But in Israel, Biden, a tactical politician known for hugs and warm embraces, shook hands with former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and several others. The no handshake rule seemed like a way to avoid a potential awkward interaction between Biden and the Crown Prince. But in the end, the fist bump was no less subtle, and Biden shook hands with the king. Khashoggi's, a U.S. resident who had been critical of the Saudi government, was killed and dismembered inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul on October the 2nd, 2018. Khashoggi had gone to the consulate to get documents he needed for his upcoming wedding. The Crown Prince has denied any involvement in Khashoggi's murder. As a presidential candidate, Biden promised to make the kingdom a pariah state because of its human rights abuses. Even though he's now met with the Crown Prince, Biden said he doesn't regret using the term. "I don't regret anything I said. What happened to Khashoggi was outrageous." Okay. Well, after this short break, that's that. You know, it's the thing where it's, you know, sometimes you got to be measured in your words. You know, maybe he should have said something different, like, we're going to make, if they're responsible for this person's murder, that we're gonna make them accountable, hold them accountable, instead of saying what he did say, because now he's in a position where he has to go and possibly ask them to increase their oil output, so it'll bring United States gas prices down. Okay. Oh well. Well, as soon as we return from this short break, we're gonna cover another story. And this one is about a former Japanese prime minister being murdered by someone for a reason. It's an unusual reason why you kill a former sitting president, but we're going to give the details of that story once we return from the short break. See you guys in a minute. Peace. You're back on with Listen to El Boogie. We're going to cover our last bit of news out of Japan. Japan Prime Minister blames police for death of former leader Shinzo Abe. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida on Thursday blamed inadequate police protection for the death of former leader Shinzo Abe, who was shot last week while giving an outdoor campaign speech. Abe, one of Japan's most influential politicians, was assassinated last Friday in Nara in western Japan, shocking a nation known for its low crime rate and strict gun control. Photos and videos of the shooting show the gunman was able to approach Abe from behind, while security guards were focused towards the front. I think there were problems with the security measures, Kishida said. Officials at the National Public Safety Commission and National Policy Agency are investigating what went wrong and will compile measures in response, Kishida said. A team of national police officials arrived in Nara, prefectural police headquarters Thursday for the probe. I urged them to carry out a thorough inspection and fix what we need to fix. Who also study examples of other countries, he said. And that's it. There's some more information about this guy, the guy who actually did the shooting. I kind of want to give you guys some information about him. So hold on a second, bear with me a second, and I'm gonna give you guys that information. Okay. This is from the Washington Post. What we know about the Unification Church after assassination of Japan's Shinzo Abe. After the assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister on July 8th, the search for motive led to an unexpected place, the Moonies. Okay. All right. After every shocking public murder, especially one tinged with ideology, there is a scramble to find motives. They usually emerge in one form or another, but often change as more information becomes known. After the assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on July 8th, the search for motive led to an unexpected place, the Unification Church. It added a strange... Hold on one second, y'all. It added a strange conspiratory air to the alleged puzzling event. Shootings are a rarity in the country with strict gun control laws and The fringe religious movement had long been fading from public eye. Links between the attack and controversial church, however, have only grown more substantial as new information leaks out. Okay. Tsuya Yamagami, an unemployed 41-year-old, was identified as the man who approached Abe and opened fire during an otherwise low-key campaign appearance. Yagami was arrested at the scene and is being held on suspicion of murder. Yagami's animosity towards Abe was first linked to the Unification Organization after news agencies reached to blame Abe for promoting the church. This upset him because his mother had been pressured into giving it a large sum of money, leading to her financial ruin. Yamagami's mother donated about 100 million yen, about $945,000, in Canadian money, to a religious organization. Nikkei, a large national daily newspaper based in Tokyo, reported Thursday, citing sources in Nara Prefectural Police. Yamagami claims his mother sold land belonging to his grandfather without permission and gave the proceeds to the church, pushing her into bankruptcy and ruining the family's relationship. Investigators confirmed the suspect said he had a grudge against a specific organization but didn't name it. The church in Japan, however, acknowledged the membership and financial transactions of Yamagami's mother, saying it had not yet calculated the amount she had, but that 50 million yen had been returned to her between 2005 and 2014, according to Nikkei. Nikkei also reported Yamagami's was unable to attack his original target, a head of the church based in Korea, because of COVID restrictions and travel. So he settled for Abe. Bullet holes were found at the nearby church run facility, and Yamagami said he had used it to target practice the day before the assassination. Japanese television station Fuji News Network reported, the Unification Church has often amused, mystified, and worried many because of its new religious beliefs, mass weddings, ownership of news media organizations, and involvement in politics. Not known as the Family Federation of World Peace and Unification, it is still most often referred to as the Unification Church, or popularly and more derisively as the Moonies. Wow. Crazy. The nickname stemmed from its founding in South Korea in 1954 by a man named Sung Young Moon. Okay, this church was popular in the United States back in the 70s also. Wow, this is crazy. Who led the movement until his death in 2012. Moon claims to be a new messiah and had the last word of the church affairs. In the West, the church became best known for its mass weddings called Holy Marriage Blessing Ceremony. Photos of ceremonies sometimes featured tens of thousands of couples periodically bemused and befuddled the public. Many couples were matched by Moon himself in arranged relationships, especially in the church early years, while others were already married and only had their union blessed by the church. In the 1970s and the 1980s, it worried mainstream religions as one of the fastest growing new religious movements and was often branded a cult. The Unification Church, alongside Hare Krishna's and Scientology, became popular caricature what counterculture religious movements that helped spark an anti-cult panic in the West, fueled in large measure by 1978 Jonestown Massacre, where American cult leader Jim Jones pushed 909 members of the People's Temple to mass suicide and mass murder in Guyana. Despite such spectacular events, religious scholars say connections between new religious movements and violence are rare. The Unification Church, though, hasn't shielded away from politics or business. While many religious movements veer to the left and social liberalism, the Unification Church pushes social and political conservatism, anti-communism, and Korean reunification. In the late 1970s, a U.S. House Investigating Committee subcommittee even said the church was secretly funded by the director of the Korean Central Intelligence Agency as a political tool. Tomohiro Tanaka, president of the Japanese branch of the Family Federation of World Peace and Unification, confirmed to reporters in Tokyo that Yamagami's mother joined the church in the late 1980s and attended regularly for more than a decade before dropping out. She reestablished communication with the church members 2 or 3 years ago and returned to church events about 6 months before the shooting. Neither Abe nor the suspected killer were church members, Tanaka said. Nor was Abe an advisor to the church, he said. The information has not been independently verified. Abe held conservative views that often aligned with the church position. He appeared in September, apparently as a paid speaker, at an event hosted by Moon's widow, Hakaya Han Moon, and an organization affiliated with the church. Excuse me. According to the group's website, Abe delivered a speech praising their work for peace on the Korean Peninsula. Former U.S. President Donald Trump also addressed attendees by video. Critics have long accused the church of using generous fees to attract politicians, celebrities, and clergy from more mainstream religions to speak at church events, which make it look like they endorse the church. Past speakers include former Soviet Premier Malachi Gorbachev, former U.S. President George H.W. Bush, and comedian Bill Cosby. The church's presence in Japan is far greater than in Canada. The church has dozens of ministries in Japan and has been reported as a source country for most of the church's vast wealth. Moon created strong ties to Japan by starting an anti-communist organization there decades ago, through which he cultivated relationships with Japan's politicians, according to the church's published records. Among them was Abe's grandfather, former Prime Minister Nobukoshi Kashi. In the 1990s, the church faced lawsuits in Japan from disaffected members accusing it of pursuing them to pay high prices for religious objects and spiritual benefits. It led to several settlements, according to the Washington Post. The church said at the time the claims were meritless. Moon and his church were heavily involved in business as well as religion, and often focused on media, mass media, and communications. Moon spent months in prison in the United States for tax evasion in the 1980s. I knew I heard these people before when I was a kid. The church or church affiliates have owned newspapers in South Korea, Japan, the United States, South Africa, and Egypt. The Washington Times was founded by Moon in 1982, and the church brought the United Press International. bought United Press International and International Wire Service in 2000. The church has a presence in Canada as well. Materials supporting the Canadian branch says its mission is to unify the world as one family with God as our heavenly parent. Excuse me. It has offices in Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver, according to its website. A request for comment on the church's place in Canada and thoughts on the events in Japan was not responded to prior to publication deadline. Damn, the world is crazy, man. The world is crazy. Oh, well, guys, that's the end of this episode for Sunday, July the 17th, 2022. And you know what it is. I'm going to holler at you guys on another episode of Listen to L Boogie. And be careful navigating through this crazy world. And I'll see you guys again soon with another episode of Listen to L Boogie. Y'all be good to each other. Try to love one another. I'll holler at you. Peace.